more Wisconsin residents become eligible for vaccination against COVID-19, more people will be on the hunt for vaccine appointments themselves. WPR's Bram Sable-Smith has been speaking with people who found appointments and has some tips.
Robin Davis was thrilled to learn her family was eligible for COVID-19 vaccines on March 1st. The 56-year-old has mostly hunkered down in her Milwaukee home with her son and daughter, both adults on the autism spectrum.
Very depressing because we've been at home 24/7.
Davis has her own physical disabilities, and all three of them are part of Wisconsin's self-directed program for adults with disabilities. That's how they qualified for the vaccine. But like many in Wisconsin, Davis was uncertain about how to book an appointment. That's when she saw a news story about a Facebook group where Wisconsinites were sharing tips about finding a shot.
And so I requested to join right away, and then I told my story. And then Bob, he said to direct message him. I did that.
Bob is Bob Orrick, a retail manager in Germantown, who started the Facebook group Milwaukee and Wisconsin Area Vaccine Hunters and Angels.
That one became like my own personal mission to get them, all three of them, vaccinated.
Orrick connected Davis with a Walgreens pharmacist he had met through the group. She and her children were vaccinated the next day. It's one of many success stories for the group that has something of a mantra: ask for help.
And to see all the positive that this page is doing and all these messages, DMs, and text messages I'm getting, that's what's been so just kind of inspiring with all this.
Scheduling vaccine appointments can be more straightforward. That doesn't mean it's easy, though. Here are some tips that other Wisconsin residents have found successful. The first is to go through your medical provider. That's what 67-year-old Lisa Kirchberg did. She got a letter from her doctor saying she was eligible and could book an appointment over the phone. She followed the instructions and received her first dose in February.
They were very good there. You know, they had you sit for 15 minutes and, you know, it was real clean and good spacing. And, you know, some places aren't like that, but it was. So that was nice.
Each medical provider has its own system for booking vaccine appointments. And tip number two is to research where to go. The state maintains a searchable map of vaccine providers, but appointment slots can fill up fast. Bob Orrick says members of his group glean patterns revealing the best time to book at certain locations. Walgreens, for example, seems to open new appointments at 6 a.m. daily, a worm for the early birds. Orrick says they're still trying to figure out the other pharmacies, like CVS.
So they're still kind of a nut to uncrack.
Being willing to travel can possibly open up more appointments as well. Tip number three, ask for leftovers. Some providers will have leftover vaccine doses at the end of the day because of canceled appointments. Rather than letting them go to waste, Orrick says some have lists of people that can show up on short notice.
And I will tell you, it is working with people getting doses that way.
Now, if it seems like these tips for booking appointments favors the tech savvy and people with time, you're not alone. Hashim Zabak noticed the same thing. He's a founder and pharmacist at Hyatt Pharmacy in Milwaukee. Their solution is to offer walk-in appointments that allow people to forgo the online booking process altogether.
We've had slow days when we just vaccinated 50 or 60 people, and we've had some really, really busy days that we were getting close to 1,000 a day.
Regardless of how you approach it, there is one more tip for getting a vaccine. Be patient. The state is making progress, and the general population is expected to be eligible in May. Bram Sablesmith, Wisconsin Public Radio.
That story comes from a reporting partnership between WPR and Wisconsin Watch. You can hear more from Bram tomorrow night at 7. He joins New York Times Investigations and health policy reporter Sarah Cliff to share insights from inside the pandemic and answer your questions. Join in for that free event presented via Zoom tomorrow at 7 p.m. You can register on the calendar at WPR.org/events. Now, as we're hearing, millions of Wisconsinites with certain high-risk health conditions will be eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine as part of the next phase, 1C, of the state's vaccine rollout. That comes into effect later this month. And in the mix, President Biden last week directed states to make all American adults eligible no later than May 1st. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you've been vaccinated or you're halfway there. What's the process been like for you? Do you have questions about who's eligible next? About what to expect with the vaccine? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Patrick Remington is a professor emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Good to be back, Rob.
Well, as we just heard there, even when you're eligible for the vaccine, doesn't mean there's enough vaccine for you just yet. Can you talk about that sort of that expectations game as more categories of people get eligible for the vaccine?
Well, spring is a time of transition. We had nice weather over the weekend, and now it's back to winter. And I think with the COVID vaccine, it's going to be a time of transition. We've been in a scarce, sort of a time of scarcity, where there's been more demand than vaccine. And so things like ways to get the vaccine have popped up using technology or friends or family connections. But we're going to transition to a time when there'll be more vaccine than demand. And that will happen probably, certainly by May. So I just encourage people that if you're eligible, reach out to get an appointment and then be patient, because your time will come. It's been a year since this pandemic arrived in Wisconsin and in this country. And I think we just have to remember that. This is not the time to drop your guard, to stop using masks and, you know, doing careful hand washing and avoiding group gatherings. Now is the time to continue that, be patient. And within weeks, certainly by the end of April, you'll have a chance to get a vaccine.
I wanted to ask what you think of our vaccine rollout so far. We had kind of a slow start, but now we lead the nation on the measure of, you know, the amount of vaccine we've used compared to the supply we have. We're, you know, in above the national average for first and second doses. What are you seeing in the Wisconsin vaccine rollout?
Well, I think it's amazing. Our public health departments, our local health systems have been working around the clock, and not just on tracking cases and doing isolation and quarantine recommendations, but now rolling out vaccines. It's really hard to imagine how much a burden this has been on our public institutions, and they are just doing a great job. This is no small task to vaccinate as much as 60, 70, maybe 80 or 90% of the population. So I think it's, you know, you can always look at the glass being half empty and say that we've wasted, you know, a fraction of a percent of doses. But I look at the fact that we've gotten a safe vaccine. It's a very effective vaccine, and it is thousands of times safer than getting the illness. So we've done a lot more good than any problems in the system.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Reggie with us in Oshkosh. Reggie, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Reggie?
Well, I'm a truck driver locally in Oshkosh, and I wanted to know, you know, we're in 15, 20 businesses a day. You know, we're good enough to haul the vaccine, but why aren't we essential enough to get it yet?
Reggie, thanks a lot for that call. And I know there are questions about a bunch of different lines of work. I think restaurant workers now have made the cut, but some factory workers and in Reggie's case, truck drivers, not eligible yet. Can you talk about that, those decisions, Dr. Remington?
Well, this is just a time of scarcity. There's no right or wrong way. You just have to make decisions. And I could argue in Reggie's on behalf, and that truck drivers, people who are out in public, certainly are essential workers, and they should be top priority. But unfortunately, right now, we just don't have enough vaccine to go around. The priority that the state has looked at is to have the next group be those who are at risk of getting sick, so that it's not simply getting infected, but it's looking at people with chronic conditions who, if infected, might get very sick, might be hospitalized, and might die. So, again, anytime you set priorities, there are going to be people who fall below the line. But I would just remember that it's been a year, that within the next few weeks, that eligibility line will be extending, and that by May 1, I'm confident that everybody in Wisconsin who wants a vaccine can get an appointment and get a vaccine.
Thanks for the call, Reggie. We'll go to Becca now in Portage. Becca, hi.
Hello. I wanted to say I saw a bunch of people on Facebook really frustrated going through their health care. And I actually called a pharmacy and got on their leftover list. And, I mean, you got to say, you know, at the end of the day, if they have leftovers, I mean, you got to say you'll be there, you know, when they want you there, because they don't want it to go to waste. But I got both vaccines that way. And then also, I just wanted to say, you know, my husband, we got scheduled through Walgreens, and it was real easy. You just go online and watch for the appointments and sign up. So definitely think outside the box for sure. Yeah.
Becca, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, those use it or lose it vaccines at the end of the day. I mean, it's good news that even if they're not going to people in the highest priority group, it's better than having them go to waste, right?
Well, absolutely. I love the way Becca said, you know, that use it or lose it. Now is the time. If you have an opportunity to get vaccinated, and certainly in those cases where vaccines might go to waste, take advantage of that. And also, she said, think outside the box. Don't think of the clinic as the only place that you can get a vaccine. Typically, we get our healthcare there. We get most vaccines are administered in healthcare settings, but this is unusual. These are unusual times when we have to use every resource available, and pharmacies have stepped up. They deliver high quality health services. They can provide vaccinations to people efficiently and effectively. And again, I would say take advantage of any opportunity. Don't sort of delay. If an opportunity comes up, you're not really taking that away from somebody else. Now's the time for everybody who can get vaccinated, if you're eligible, to go ahead and get vaccinated.
We continue our conversation about vaccine eligibility and supply with Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Still time for your questions about the vaccine process and the available supply, how it's all going, and your experiences. 800-642-1234 is the number. Back to your calls now. Charles is with us in Fall Creek. Charles, hi.
Hi, Dr. Remington. I anticipate that you're going to answer my question with everyone that can get vaccinated should now, but I wanted you to explain maybe a little bit more about my situation, and I feel like the situation of many others in Wisconsin. I've already had the first strain of the coronavirus, and so I don't know how much I will benefit from getting the vaccine. I'm currently eligible, but should I wait for a booster? I think of my mom, who's got multiple sclerosis, that definitely would need to get the first vaccine, and other people that haven't already had the coronavirus. Your thoughts?
Charles, great question, and a lot of people, I think, having that thought. Dr. Remington, if I've already had COVID, should I move to the back of the line for people who have had no exposure?
Yes, that's a great question. We've had just over 570,000 cases in the state reported. That's about 10%. We guess maybe another 5 or 10% of people have been infected and not reported. So with about 20% of the population in the state who've had illness, you could make a good argument that your chance of getting really sick, infected and really sick, is significantly less because you've had infection and recovered. And I think it's reasonable to then say, I would step to the back of the line and let others who are susceptible, and particularly if they're susceptible and high risk, that's the most important group to get vaccinated. I think I was speaking, if there's vaccine going to waste and you get a call that says, if you can get here in 5 minutes, we can give you this, then that, I think better than going to waste is to have everybody who can get a vaccine. But I think it's a really good idea. Again, part of getting vaccinated is to protect yourself, but the other part is to protect the community. And variants, for example, are beginning to show up, and they only show up and evolve if there's transmission. So in a way, getting a vaccine is good for you, but it's also good for the community. But it's a great point. If you've had infection, it's been confirmed, you are at a lower risk of both getting infected and getting sick. You should eventually get vaccinated, but it's reasonable to let others go first.
Charles, thanks for the call. We'll go to Steve next in Sun Prairie. Hello, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you know, I'm going to disagree with the rollout. I think it was a terrible rollout. I mean, the science tells us that people that are older have a negative outcome more so than people that are younger. It should have been older people and then moved down. The fact that we open it up to teachers who abandon their kids by hiding behind seniors is disgusting. A 21-year-old kid gets the vaccine before a 64-year-old. It made no sense.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. And Dr. Remington, there was the balance people are trying to strike. Who's most at risk? Who's most exposed? Who can most spread it? And, of course, for healthcare workers, who do we need to help fight this thing? Can you talk about how we weigh those factors?
Well, we have to do just as you said. We have to weigh the factors, and no decision is without its without the disadvantages. And so you can make a good argument that we should entirely protect those who are vulnerable, people who are older, and not focus on people who are the source of infection. You could also swing the argument the other way, is that if we stop transmission and we focus on people who are at risk of transmitting, which would be younger people, then the older people will be safe because the virus will not be circulating. But the state really combined those approaches and focused on older people, 65 and older, now focusing on people with chronic conditions. And this is it's a very tough decision to make. And I completely understand the frustration when you see a younger person getting vaccinated. But just think that this is a transition period. We're talking about now weeks where we're going to soon be trying to get people to become more motivated to get vaccinated. We're going to look at people who are hesitant or refusing to get vaccinated. And the effort is going to go from a supply shortage to excess vaccine, and then focusing on trying to get everybody to get vaccinated.
Thanks for the call, Steve. We're talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about COVID-19 and the vaccine rollout and who's eligible. We'll go to Rosa next in Waterford. Rosa, hello.
Hello. Last week on my morning drive-in, there was an expert on the radio. He said that there's been a 70% reduction in COVID cases nationwide, and less than 10% of Wisconsinites have received the vaccine. So that's telling me that our immune systems are stronger than we think. I'm pretty sure COVID virus will be around for a very long time. And Dr. Question. Ivermectin is very effective. I've talked to a few farmers who actually kill off the COVID virus in their animals. Why aren't we using ivermectin? Per Senator Ron Johnson's hearings in on the Capitol, many doctors have used it successfully to treat
Rosa, COVID. Thanks a lot for the call. So a couple points there. First of all, the big drop in cases January, of course, a nightmare. Dr. Remington, cases have come down since then. A big question as to why that is. I don't think it's about our immune system so much, though.
No, it's really not about our immune system, and we didn't have sufficient number of people vaccinated. Fortunately, people are heeding the advice. We have people who continue to avoid crowds and wear masks. The virus does cycle into susceptible populations. Unfortunately, we have, again, nearly 20% of the population infected. And those people who took risks became infected. So it's a combination of individual immunity, but also safe practices. And it's certainly not treatment with ivermectin. I've watched that Senate hearing. The experts have weighed in. Randomized trials are needed. The gold standard for telling whether a medicine works is a randomized clinical trial, and those trials have not shown that ivermectin works. Anecdotal information is a good way to have a hypothesis, to think about whether something might work, but it's not the test, and so I wouldn't put my trust in untested medicine.
Thanks for the call. Dr. Remington, as you're watching forward now to, we've been talking about the new eligible categories at the end of this month. Then we're coming up to May and every adult eligible. I don't know, what are you watching for with supply as the Johnson & Johnson one shot's hitting the market now?
Well, again, I think it's going to be the sort of the tipping of the fulcrum where one morning we'll wake up and find out that pretty much everybody who wants a vaccine has gotten one. And whether that happens early in May or later in the spring and summer. And we will then begin focusing on people who are reluctant, who have concerns about the safety of the vaccine, who have concerns about vaccines in general. And that's when we need to serve as trusted sources. We have to talk with our healthcare providers, with our public health experts, and encourage people to do this again, not just for themselves, but to stop community transmission. Every time a person gets infected, that's an opportunity for that virus to mutate. And the faster we can get the entire community, as they say, the herd, immune, the faster we'll be able to prevent mutations and not have variants that are more contagious and more deadly. So we all have to do this together, not just to protect ourselves, but to protect the entire community.
Dr. Remington, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
We've been talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us to talk about the latest on the vaccine rollout, who's eligible next, and for answers to all your questions. Thanks for your calls.